I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
You're like a little shaggy-haired terrier. Just got a grip on my trousers you won't let go. I can't turn around without you staring up at me with that blank, innocent expression on your face.
You know, Columbo, you're almost likable in a shabby sort of way. Maybe it's the way you come slouching in here with your shop-worn bag of tricks. Yeah, Lieutenant Columbo, fumbling and stumbling along. But it's always the jugular that he's after. And I imagine that more often than not, he's successful.
You say you need a psychiatrist? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you are the textbook example of compensation. You're an intelligent man, Columbo, but you hide it. You pretend you're something you are not. Why? Because of your appearance. You think you cannot get by on looks or polish. So you turn a defect into a virtue. You take people by surprise. They underestimate you, and that's where you trip them up.
Well, you've got me pegged pretty good, Doctor. I'm going to have to watch myself with you, because, you figure out people pretty good.
Now, Peter, how has buying the right coat been significant to your career?
How did what, finding the right coat?
No. How has buying the right coat been significant to your career?
Yes. I mean, gee, that's something. That really is something. The first movie I ever made, and at that time I was knocking around off-Broadway. I was making $10 a week rehearsal, and when the play opened, I made $30 a week. And that was in Greenwich Village in New York City. And 20th Century Fox, they came to New York to make a gangster picture. And they brought the two stars with them. And they were hiring local actors, local New York actors, to play the secondary parts. And I got cast as what the hell was the name of that guy? Jesus.
Oh, it was Abe.
Abe Relis,
right?
Abe Relis.
Right.
I got cast as Abe Relis. He was one of the lead hoods in this movie, so I had to have a dress like a hood, and I used to hang around a pool hall, which was next to a restaurant called Downey's, and Downey's was an actor's hangout, but the pool hall was right next door to the hangout, so I didn't spend a lot of time in the hangout. I spent a lot of time in the pool hall.
Right.
And in that pool hall, there were a lot of wannabe hoods. The guys down there, they weren't the real thing, but they dressed like the real thing. So I knew exactly how Abe Relis, he had a great name, Kid Twist.
Wow.
Abe Kid Twist.
That is a great
Relis.
Name. Yeah.
I knew how he dressed from the guys who were in that pool hall. And I spent a lot of time trying to find the right overcoat. I spent maybe 3 weeks going from one secondhand clothing store to another, and
wow.
I finally found it.
Yeah.
And that overcoat, I wore that overcoat, and lo and behold, what happened? I got nominated for an Academy Award, can you imagine?
In your first movie?
My first movie.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, that never happened. Has that ever happened before or since?
Not to my knowledge.
Wow.
But to make it even richer, my second movie, I played another hood.
Right.
And I wore that same overcoat again.
Right.
And got nominated again. Can you imagine? So we were undefeated, me and the coat.
Peter, just a year later, in 1961, you played a revolutionary leader fashioned after Fidel Castro in an episode of The Twilight Zone entitled The Mirror, as we'll hear in the following clip.
A mirror that reflects the faces of my assassins. Isn't that intriguing?
How many prisoners are there?
We're here in the Capitol?
Well, 1,000.
Have them shot.
Immediately.
The trials.
We don't have time for trials.
But for murder, there is plenty of time.
What are you? Some kind of a chameleon? What is this ease with which you strip off one color and put on another? You turn my stomach. Murderers can never be murdered. Murderers can only be executed.
Cristo, take the bottle and Garcia. Carry out that order.
Gladly.
Now, Peter, a couple of years earlier, ironically, you were visiting Havana, Cuba, while you were shooting a movie in Florida. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, isn't that something? Yeah, that was quite a thing. I was shooting this movie in the Everglades in Florida. I had a small part, didn't have a lot to do, and it was a period picture. And I decided, hell, I'll go to Havana, Cuba, see what it's like. And I was wearing my costume from the picture. And it was a period picture, about 1900, 1905, something like that. And I got on a plane on impulse and landed in Havana and went to a hotel and got a room. And then decided I would walk the streets and take in the sights. And I got about 6 blocks from the hotel when a car came screeching to a halt. It was half on the street and half on the sidewalk, and it was blocking me from going any from walking.
Right.
And I didn't know what was happening. And the doors to the car flew open, and 3 guys came running out of that car. They were coming toward me. I didn't know what they were going to do. Then they threw me to the ground, and they held my arms down. And they held my feet down,
Wow. And
they put handcuffs on me. And then they picked me up and they threw me in the car. I was scared. I said, what the hell is going on? Where are they taking me? And I was relieved to see that they pulled up in front of a police station.
Right.
So I said, well, these are police. I like that. I didn't know who they were. I'd take anything. And then they brought me in, and they started interrogating me. Now, they would ask questions in Spanish.
Uh-huh.
I would answer in English. They would translate the questions from Spanish to English, and then when I answered in English, they would translate the English back into Spanish.
Right.
I mean, just to get... Just forget my name.
Right.
My work took an hour. At any rate, then at one point after this questioning, they threw me back in the car and they took me back to the hotel. And they were talking to the concierge in the lobby. And the concierge could speak English. And first chance I got, I said to him, what do they want? What's going on?
Right.
And he explained to me and clarified everything. He said, they think that you're with who was the guy, the revolutionary?
Castro.
Yes, Castro.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Right.
They think you're with Castro.
Right.
And the reason is that Castro's army was on the outskirts of Havana.
Wow.
And about 3 days later, Castro and his men came down out of the hills and took over all of Havana.
Wow.
And that was the revolution where they took over the country. But when these cops saw me and I was wearing this, I don't know, I looked like a bum.
Right.
Because it was my costume from the picture.
Right.
And also, here's the crucial thing. In the movie took place 1900, and everybody in the movie had a big black beard.
Oh.
And everybody in the movie needed a haircut.
Okay.
And so I had this big black beard. I needed a haircut, and I was wearing some goddamn thing from 1900. So these Havana cops, they saw me walking the street. They said, he's from Castro's army.
Well, not only did you look like a revolutionary, but when you did the Twilight Zone, you looked like Fidel Castro.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know, my beard and his beard. They look alike.